Hey, it's Coach B here, and today we're going to be talking about the carbs are bad for you myth and whether or not it's actually leading us to gain weight, the excessive consumption of carbohydrates and the attendant spike in insulin that causes the excess storage of carbs. In other words, do carbs make us fat? Right, said much more simply and a lot less intellectually, right? Let's start off first with the following. What do Gary Taubes, Dr. Jason Fong, Gary Brecka of 10X Health, and Dave Asprey of Bulletproof, the Bulletproof brand, what is the one thing that they all have in common? Well, they all believe that what is responsible for weight loss is not a net difference or a calorie deficit between how many calories we burn a day versus how many calories we consume. They believe some sort of variation of hormones are the problem, say more specifically into the carbohydrate insulin model that says when we eat more carbs, that causes spikes in our insulin, which then drives the carbohydrates, the glucose, and stores it into our body as body fat and glycogen. And what I'm here today to teach you is to teach you how that's just not true. And although it sounds fancy, although it sounds more complicated, and perhaps by virtue of the complexity of it, that could be the answer to our weight gaining and weight loss woes. But that's not quite the case. And I think our job here as coaches in the entire marketplace, in the entire coaching space, but also here as Haven Gym coaches, situated in Elizabeth, New Jersey, this little corner of our world, it's our job to educate and to help our prospects, our future clients, our current clients, clients who we will never have as clients, but just people in the general population, to learn that there are certain things that sound sexy and short-term quick fixes with all sorts of amazing promises, but then there are other things that, although they might not sound as sexy, they actually do work. And with that being said, that's the nature of advertising, you know? Me and making this content, I understand, say, principles of marketing, principles of salesmanship, and so I have a background understanding how the human mind works and what works for persuading an individual to either, say, purchase one of her services, or even myself, how the sales and marketing of the daily world affects me to make purchases. And because of that, I have a certain special perspective, along with the fact that I'm also a head coach here and I run this gym business, and I see what our clients struggle through. And the reason why this false advertising can be so harmful is because it preys on our short-term hardwired instincts to see short and quick instant gratification. Everybody wants to, what's that phrase? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die, right? And so everybody wants to lose 50 pounds. Everybody wants to get a six pack, but nobody wants to hear, hey man, it's progressive overload over several months and years of consistent, dedicated training. And it's also a calorie deficit, fine tuning our macros, meal prepping, finding solutions for our daily schedule and compromising that with the rest of our families, our kids, our wives, our husbands, our immediate environment. And this is hardwired into us because when we were evolving as a species and say there's a lion out there chasing us, then the instant gratification of understanding, well, I'm hungry, I need food now, because if I don't get food right now, then the lion that's been in the area is probably going to come and get me, and I'm not going to be able to outrun, outfight it, or outmaneuver it. And so I need something right now to ensure my survival. However, we are no longer living in those tooth and nail circumstances as before. We live in the modern world where it's smarter and it behooves us to set aside money for a long-term retirement, a mid to long-term investment. And so because our time horizons are much more grander now than when we were living out there in the savannas or the jungles or whatever it might be, then it's very dangerous for us to see an advertisement online about buy this supplement and it's going to go ahead and take off 20 pounds of body fat within 6 weeks, or eat this one food, the 10 foods that all say Japanese people in this special blue zone island is what caused them to get to 110 years of age on average. That sounds sexy, but well, just because you eat some goji berries doesn't mean that you're going to live an extra 50 years, right? Or just because you do some expensive $5,000, $10,000 ozone therapy that only I sell, doesn't mean that you're going to have the quality of life or, say, the strength or the fat loss or the shred six-pack or the tight toned tummy that you want. Although tight toned tummy in just 6 weeks sounds very sexy. Anyways, the point is not to beat a dead horse, is that this is going to be a part of a series of what I think are the most common fitness myths that easily lend themselves to false advertising, because a lot of manipulative marketers and sleazy salesmen, they like to capitalize on our propensity for short-term instant gratification and to make a quick buck and, you know, line their pockets while we waste our and burn our hard-earned cash, because, well, we work hard for it and it doesn't make sense for us to, well, spend it stupidly. Right? No matter if you're an individual who's trying to manage his household, if you're a married married person trying to manage their household, or you're an individual trying to get ahead in life, or if you're a business and you're trying to, say, allocate your resources responsibly, it doesn't make sense for you to burn your cash. It makes more sense for you to think rather than, say, do stupid things, right? So anyways, now let's get into the actual myth, the carbohydrate insulin model. Let's talk about what it is. Again, I said it earlier in the episode, in the video, in the podcast, but the whole model is this. You eat lots of carbs, your blood sugar spikes, the insulin spiking now then drives the blood sugar, the glucose that's in your bloodstream, away, reducing it from dangerous levels, which in the case of a diabetic could be, you know, fatal, but driving it away in a normal, healthy human being, and into storing it as glycogen and fat, body fat. Now, given that, you know, mechanism, it's very easy for us to make the leap that, oh shit, if I eat a bunch of, are you telling me, Coach B, that if I eat a lot of carbs, that I'm gonna gain a lot of weight? Not quite. Although I could, if I want to sell you on a couple of ebooks and I want to, you know, go ahead and make a quick buck at your expense, if you were silly enough, which, you know, if you're watching this, you're probably not that silly, right? You're probably someone who has a little bit more of a, or is looking for further education on shining a light on your fitness ignorances. And that's what I'm here for, to help you out, man or woman or child or whoever it is that's watching this, right? But the point is that that's not true, because let's take a look at the Minnesota starvation experiment that was conducted somewhere right after the Allied victory of World War II. And what the Allied forces did is that they looked at the landscape of Europe and Eurasia, really, and they saw, okay, well, there's going to be a lot of zones in Eurasia and in Africa that are going to be suffering from starvation. And if we want to go ahead and help rebuild these communities, partly for some goodwill, but also partly for some political reasons as well, in helping these nations build themselves back up, then what we should help them do is, well, feed them. And we are going to then conduct a study to measure the effects of malnutrition and starvation on, well, on our subjects, which are the people that were included in this study. And so who were the people included in the study? They were test subjects who ate 1,500 calories of potatoes, rutabagas, turnips, bread, and macaroni, cutting the regular caloric intake in half and having their total caloric intake consisting mainly of the carbohydrates that I just said, because bread, macaroni, turnips, you know, rutabagas, potatoes, all that stuff, those are all carbohydrates, right? And so they cut their, they fed them a whole shit ton of carbs and they cut their caloric intake of half. And what ended up happening? You'll see it on the screen here. If you're watching it on YouTube, if you're on the podcast, I'll describe it to you. But basically these guys lost a, well, the scientific term is they lost a shit ton of weight, right? And the reason they lost a shit ton of weight, even though they were eating carbs, which hypothetically meant they were supposed to have massive spikes of insulin, which hypothetically was supposed to lead to massive amounts of storage of excess glucose in the bloodstream into the body as body fat, even though that's what they ate, that's not what happened. They starved because they were eating wait for it, drum roll, they were eating less calories than what they were burning in a day. And so because of that, that leads to, well, the actual mechanism for weight loss, which isn't that, say, eating excessive carbs leads to weight gain. Because if that were the case, then these individuals in the Minnesota starvation experiment, they wouldn't have, well, lost the weight that they did. They wouldn't have looked like they were, say, they had gone to the concentration camps. But that is the case. They lost tons of weight. And so what is the truth is that if we eat less like they did, right, then what we burn in a day, let's say you're burning 2,000, 2,500, 3,000 calories. I'm just pulling these numbers out of my ass, right, because we're doing some simple math here, right? And we only burn, if we burn 3,000 calories and we only eat 1,500 calories, our bodies are looking for a source of energy, just like a car would use gasoline for fuel. And if the fuel runs out, what is, say, the body going to do? It's like, well, I just burned through 1,500 calories of fuel. I need it from somewhere. Oh, let me make this guy hungry. So it drives the hunger hormones. I forget if it's leptin or ghrelin. It's one of those two. It drives those hormones. So then you get the trigger of like, fuck, I'm hungry. Let me go eat something, right? And then you eat. And now you have an extra 500 calories of fuel. Now you have an extra 1,000. And if you eat beyond the necessities of the fuel that you have to use to do your activities, let's say you burn 3,000, but you consume 4,000 calories, then now you're going to use that excess fuel as storage for a rainy day, for a snowy day, for when you're out there with Mr. Lion and you need some food or else he's going to go ahead and kill you, right? And so thankfully that's not the case. You know, Mr. Lion is not with us. You know, he's back 3,000 years ago. Unless you're out in the fields today, then, well, you know, you probably shouldn't be watching this video. You should probably be worried about Mr. Lion. Now, that being said, if you are eating less, though, if you don't have that extra meal and you keep it at 1,500 calories when you need 3,000 to get through your day, where is your body going to get the fuel from, if not externally? It's going to get it internally. It's going to get it from you, from your tissues, first through your body. Well, first through your glycogen, then through your body fat. Then, well, if you got no more body fat more on you, now your muscle. Now it starts eating away at your muscle because it's like, man, this guy's starving. I need to get it somewhere or else his heart's going to stop or else his brain is going to stop functioning. And I'd rather eat a big, beautiful bicep of his, right? Or some great, wonderful plump glutes of hers so that, you know, this girl doesn't fucking die. Let me go ahead and, you know, eat some of those amino acids in her body, which is a term for muscle. The point is that the mainstream energy balance model is what actually works. However, this is not a suggestion or a prescription. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not here trying to tell you, hey, you need to eat 1,500 calories and you need to starve yourself and you have to just starve yourself on salads. I am not saying that, right? All I am describing to you is the energy balance model, which is the true model, backed up by this particular study, fundamental study on weight loss, but also backed up by massive amounts of literature reviews and meta-analyses, which is just basically the whole body of the scientific literature, right? Which is going ahead and supporting this fundamental theory, which, although it could be wrong, but so far hasn't been, you know, proven wrong, although we will continue to try to prove it wrong, supporting this idea that, well, if you burn less than what you eat, then you go ahead and store weight. If you burn more than what you actually consume, then you're going to lose weight. However, what do you do actually then if that's the case? Well, if you control for protein and fiber, and if you're in a calorie deficit, then your job is to find the diet or the lifestyle, whether it's low carb or low fat, that you can adhere to. And what adhere technically means is what you can stick to over the long time. Now, any sort of change in your lifestyle for the betterment of your health, it's gonna take some sacrifice. So there's gonna be no miracle cure. There's not gonna be like, oh, I did carnivore and like it's so easy and there's no sacrifices and now my life is just, you know, blissful and beautiful. No. You're still going to have to make some sacrifices, but whatever. The sacrifices would not, if for them to be sustainable, those sacrifices should be chosen to where you are willing to make them. So let's say if you're not willing to be a bikini competitor because you're a mom of three and you got a full-time job and you just want to lose a couple fucking pounds, why are you going to track every single, say, gram of micronutrient along with your macro? You could do that. You could train six times a week, twice a day, but you don't need to do that, right? Because those aren't the kind of results you want. You just want to stay fit and stay lean. That's all. So very simply, get into a calorie deficit, maybe or maybe not track your protein, right? A coach, this is where they can help you, you know, make these, these recommendations. Shameless plug, right? But I won't give you my number just yet, right? We got to talk a little bit more, right? We got to have more of a conversation, right? You know, it's not that easy. And so that being said, with or without a coach, you just need to make the decision, the basic decision of how do I get into a deficit, getting into one, and then figuring out how much protein roughly, and then that's it. Hit your gym three times per week. If you can, a fourth, maybe a fifth. If not, just twice a week, minimum 30 minutes a day, full body workouts, squats, barbell, deadlifts, things of that nature. You'll get to your goal. If you want to get to a four pack, a six pack, then okay, maybe now you got to start dialing in your carbs and your fats. Totally fair, right? Maybe you have, say, a 10%, 20% leeway in 20% of your calories being, say, alcohol, desserts, sweets, things like that. 80% being, you know, you on top of your shit. If you're trying to be a competitive bodybuilder, then yes, obviously, you got to go, as the beautiful phrase goes, you got to go balls to the walls, right? But if you're not, if you're just a regular guy or girl like me, and we're busy, and we got our lives, and we got our partners, we got our careers, we're not trying to be any sort of extreme competitive influencer or bodybuilder. We're just regular guys and girls, right? Your job is to find a lifestyle and a diet, whether low carb or high carb, that's besides the point, that you can stick to over the long run and dial in your protein, 0.8 to 1.2 grams of protein per pound of body weight. 1.2 might be a little bit excessive, but 0.8 to 1.0. And as long as you do that, then great, wonderful, you know? If you're trying to get a lot more cut, then okay, start dialing in your fats, start dialing in your carbohydrate intake as well. Make your fun calories, which would be 20% into 10%, and adjust from there. You just need to make the sufficient sacrifices necessary for the attainment of the goal that you want. And you just need to be honest with yourself. And again, if you want to get shredded, that's going to require shredding sacrifice. If you just want to get fit and lean, that's going to require fit and lean sacrifices. So, anyways, a little aside here too. We all know people who have lost tons of weight going vegan, eating just carbs. We all know plenty of people who also have not been able to lose more than a couple of pounds on vegan. We know a shit ton of people who lost a bunch of pounds on carnivore. And we also know a couple of people who probably only lost a couple of pounds on carnivore. And so although case studies aren't the most representative, say, samples of what is scientifically true and what actually works, They're little hints that, you know, if someone's telling you carbs make you fat and you're vegan, maybe you're watching this and you're like, huh, but all I fucking eat is carbohydrates, yet I'm lean, yet I'm shredded. I smell bullshit, right? You know, just something for us to consider, right? The whole point of the video wasn't to tell you that you need to eat, you know, 800 calories of rutabaga, potatoes, turnips, bread and macaroni. No, if you're getting that away from the video, then I have done a big disservice to you, or you have not listened at all, or we have both fucked up, right? One of those three, right? Or maybe all of them. But again, on a serious note, what I want you to take home from this is that the carbohydrate insulin model, although you will see plenty of advertising on Instagram as you scroll, on your Facebook feeds, on, say, your favorite influencers' post, on, say, TV, on Good Morning America, on that on the Oprah Winfrey Show, if she's still doing that, on billboards, even through, say, friends' recommendations, know that the mainstream energy expenditure model or the caloric balance model, or the calorie deficit principle is what actually drives fat loss. Because if you don't understand this, you're going to be blaming your genetics, your hormones, your blood type. Because there's a blood type diet out of all fucking things, right? Your metabolic type. I fell for that once, right? You're going to fall for, oh, it's because I'm eating ultra high processed foods, which although, yes, we ultra high processed foods do tend to go ahead and be associated with higher weight gain. But that's because, well, when you eat, you know, 10 bags, if you eat 10 bags of Cheetos, obviously I'm fucking exaggerating, but if you eat 10 pounds of Cheetos every day, then, well, damn it, you know, you're going to gain weight, right? But it's not the fact that it's ultra processed, it's the fact that it's calorie dense and micronutrient sparse. But again, I don't want you stressing out over things that just aren't true. And number two, I don't want you spending money on stupid things. And number three, if you were to decide to spend on any money, spend it on whether it's us, you know, as coaches, shameless plug again, or it's coaches that you trust and that follow the actual truth of the science and are evidence-based practitioners, spend it with them. Or if the capital, the lack of capital, the lack of funds or resources is what's driving you to also not consider a coach, watch videos like these. Watch Dr. Bio Lane, right? Watch Renaissance Periodization. Who else is a great guy? Mike Matthews from Legion Athletics. Watch those guys. And if you got the resources to get a coach, then great. You know, skip a bunch of steps, learn things, you know, get that quality one-on-one attention and mentorship. Wonderful. If you don't, read their blogs, read their articles, watch their YouTube videos, because, well, one, that's what our coaching model is based on, because it's what works. And obviously, if you're listening to this, you can't see it, but on the video, these are all the testimonials on the background, right? Some of them anyways. Two, I personally follow this. I practice it. Number three, what else? It's just what works. It's just what works. And again, I just don't want you burning through cash, letting the stress overwhelm you. And three, bullshit advertising getting in the way of you attaining the goals that you want to. So with that being said, I hope that I was able to educate you a bit on the carbs are bad for you myth, a bit on, say, false advertising, a bit on why the carbs are bad for you myth is, well, not true. And I hope that I've educated you so that you can be empowered to make better decisions for your health and your overall fitness transformation. Now, shameless plug again, although they say three times a charm, right? I think by now it's been three times. If you need our help or you want a free nutrition book, go ahead and just send me a text or call me at this number that's going to appear on the screen and let me know. I can also give you a free consultation if you're in the Elizabeth, New Jersey area. If you're not, then I can also send you a free nutrition book that's going to help you, well, actually implement a calorie deficit so that you can see the weight loss that you want and improve your health. And yeah, I hope that helps you transform your fitness and your life. And I will be seeing you on the next one. Take care.